We wanted you to find God in buildings built by human hands, and the Bible says He doesn't dwell there.
You're listening to Chapter and Verse, the teaching ministry of Muleshoe Fellowship with Steve Friscup. This message was recorded on June 4, 2025, and is titled, It's Obvious. Grab your Bible and let's join Steve and the message.
The invisible attributes of God are not seen in the man-made things. The invisible attributes of God are seen in His creation. And when we lose sight of the Creator, when we lose sight of that and then generationally water it down or protect people's minds because of their feelings, it's craziness. We've come to a place in our society that's unacceptable. It's unnatural. Yet we have debates. This whole thing where we have this talking point now about boys playing girls' sports. Where's the church? Where's somebody to turn over the tables? Why have we embraced queerdom? Why do we embrace the unnatural? Well, we're going to get them saved. Really? Without repentance. You don't get saved without repentance. Come on, man. We did that. That comes under that greasy grace thing I was talking about earlier. Yeah, I pray this prayer and blow this knot. We'll send you a Bible and see you in heaven. That's a load of bull, too. Well, just be in church every Sunday because we're going to beam you up, Scotty. No, that's a load of bull, too. All you got to do is read this thing for yourself and you figure out there's a pile of this stuff that just is absolutely not true. But you want to find out what's true? Go outside. Go outside. Now, I've been in some gatherings that made me emotional, weak in the knees. The presence of God has overwhelmed me. Right here in a building built by human hands, I've seen it happen. Do you know, last August, I did something I never had happened to me. I stared at a mountain until I cried. Never done that? Go to the Grand Tetons and just stand there for a minute and look around. Listen. Look at what God has done. How things happened and formed the earth that He created. Look around. When's the last time that we took a classroom of kids outside and just had them lay face down in the grass and rub your nose in the grass and get up and tell me how you think that grass got there? It's called seed time and harvest. That's in here. Oh, yeah, but church, we made that all about money. We made that about money. God didn't invent money. He didn't create money. No, He created life. He created the progression of life. He created this ball of dirt that we live on called the G. Then He turned us loose to handle the cosmos, the order of the world on top of the G. He said, here now, y'all, I've given you everything necessary for life and godliness. Now y'all handle it. Yeah, we're still laying around begging on God to handle it. Begging on God to take care of it. Had a little discussion with the guy the other day about praying for rain. He said, what would make you think that God thinks you deserve the rain? And I said, you know what? You're right. Why would I ask Him for rain when He's been asking me for stuff for a long time and I turned my nose up to Him? Why would He turn His nose up to me? It's fair trade, ain't it? It's called a covenant. Bilateral agreement. It's fair trade. Isn't that what them tariffs and everything's about? You know, our news media is too stupid to get it. I mean, Trump's got two choices. You can either go bust somebody in the mouth or you can give them a tariff. He's trying to be nice about it, so he's doing the tariff thing. If old Putin keeps jacking around, he's going to get popped in the mouth. Yeah, but it's called fair trade. How's America doing fair trade with God? Where we're having unnatural parades and the promotion of the such. And the best the church can do is just stay silent about it so we don't ruffle any feathers or hurt somebody's feelings. Yet we want God to do stuff for us. And we hadn't even, most of us hadn't even got to a point to where we're just praying for God to send us somewhere. You won't know what it's like until you wake up and you're in the right spot. Till you found your spot. You see, this isn't my spot. This is part of my spot. This helps me with my spot. But I have a spot. In the equine world, I have a big spot. I've earned it. The Jabez thing has happened. My territory has continuously expanded. I've been approached recently about moving into another spot. Maybe it looks like from the outside a higher place of influence and a place that's necessary and all these different things. And so I pondered on it and prayed on it, and we've talked about it and different things. And I'm not giving up my spot. Do you know why? Because a long time ago, I asked God if I could go there. And he let me. So that I could link up my faith with the people in my community. See, Muleshoe's not my community, really. That's where I live. But my community is a much bigger place with a lot of people in the equine industry. And we're friends and neighbors, and we've got believers and non-believers, and we pray together, and we talk together, we minister to each other, and we sharpen iron, and we do what we do. We enjoy life, live life to the full, and we're like-minded in a lot of ways. And a long time ago, I asked God if I could just hang out there when they wanted me to come to TBN, or they wanted me to be the largest pastor of the largest denominational church in the Northwest Conference. All these different options where you're confused about how do I serve God? What do I do? And I simply said, no, I just want to go back down to Sailborn. That's where my heart is. That's who I pray for. I've sat right there on that wooden bench right there and cried enough tears to warp the boards, trying to figure out what happens next. What do I do next? Where do I go next? What are you truly calling me to, God? The times that I've tried to run off, and every time I see the same people sitting in the same place doing the same thing, it's my spot. Paul's asking God, said, take me to my spot. Let me go. Let me go. Let me go talk to them guys. Maybe if we quit asking God to do everything for us and just ask him to make a way that we could do what we wanted to go do for him, what was really on our heart, maybe we'd begin to walk in the blessings of God and the promises of God. Maybe if we would stand up and say what's right and do what's right and project what's right and sow right seed into perfect ground, good ground, and bring forth good soil, maybe if we started doing some of those things, maybe we'd see some other things happen. But I'll tell you one thing, stand around playing church, I stand around not challenging people, just let them pretend to be Christians. That ain't going to work. By standing around and let the whole society around you make a mockery to our Creator, that's no good. It's no good whatsoever. And you don't have to write a book on it. And you don't have to go to college for it. He said, just look at the created things. What we claim to be invisible, the Bible says is clearly seen. How many of us have children? Everybody got children? Not a head. Everybody got a lot of people got children. You know, the God of heaven and earth is the God of that whole process. Yet we as a society have done everything we can to reroute that. Roe versus Wade in 1973. Sanctity of marriage in 2000. Standing up, marrying men to men and calling it a sanctimonious event. When it's a total atrocity in the eyes of God. How do we get there? How did we get there while we're singing two stanzas of Amazing Grace and throwing three mites in the bucket and listening to a guy for 27 and a half minutes? How did we get here? It happened on our watch. What happened? That's a great question. Why wouldn't we ask that? Were we not praying that we could go minister in our different places and different folks? Shoot, most of us didn't even pray for our own kitchen tables. When everything about God is right under our nose. And that's the word of encouragement I want to give you today. Because church people feel so unqualified. Most everybody. You just go grab somebody off a seat and say, hey, I want you to look up. Let's look up Leviticus 12. Won't you read Leviticus 12 out loud for the church? Right now, the BB's rolling around saying, oh, God, I hope he doesn't try that here. So we disqualify ourselves. We demean our abilities. When everybody in this room knows how you got here. Everybody in this room understands the creative processes of God. But we're blessed because we live on dirt. And when we're not standing on dirt, there's usually dirt blowing past us somewhere. But we know about dirt. We've actually encouraged our grandchildren to eat dirt. I don't know if y'all have done that, but that's really good. Oh, Robin's cringing right now if she ain't watching that ball game. Make them eat dirt. They won't get sick. You know, there's actually science about walking around with your shoes off on the dirt. This creative part. So what happens when you separate everybody with concrete? It's just like heaven. When you stand on concrete, you got to point to a screen or a book or something and tell everybody around you what it's like on the dirt. We do the same thing in the kingdom of God. We got people who have never entered into the kingdom of God that pretend to be experts about the kingdom of God, who stand on the outside of the kingdom of God and tell the group what it's supposed to be like when you get in the kingdom of God. That's an issue. That's a huge issue. Because everybody in this room can explain about dirt. You know the necessity of water. You know milk doesn't come out of a carton. Do you know that hamburger didn't just show up on a truck? I got tickled as I eat breakfast down here at the new place a couple mornings ago. And I ordered a little off the menu there different. And I wanted some sausage and some bacon. And anyhow, they're scrambling around trying to get it done. That little old girl, she's sweet as she could be. And she come back and she said, you know, we had to kill a cow to get your breakfast. And I said, I don't think so, sweetie. I said, I got sausage and bacon. And she knew. I mean, she just making a statement. But there's people. I've given this speech to Fort Worth. I've given this speech at San Antonio. The necessity of stock shows in America today to give children born on concrete one small opportunity to come and see what God's nature and his creative nature and what agriculture and all this looks like. That's why I've maintained through this whole last 15 years that the Western way of life in unison, in harmony with the gospel of Jesus Christ will be the lifeblood of this United States of America, to bring us back to creation, bring us back to our Creator, bring us back to the beginning. So whether you're an atheist or you're an evolutionist or whatever it is you think you are, somewhere there has to be a beginning. That's exactly the first two words of this book. In the beginning. First three words. In the beginning. It's our responsibility to do this. But it's also not only our responsibility to tell people who stand away from the dirt about the dirt. We have to do the same with the kingdom of God. So am I a Christian who speaks and talks and lives about the kingdom of God as a person who dwells there? Do I understand the atmosphere of God? Where he's at? Maybe not all of it, but to the best of my ability at this point in time. Can I convey that? The same way I'd convey about a wheat field? Everybody here knows about a wheat field. Harvest your wheat in June, you sow your wheat in September. Is that about right? So people who've never driven a tractor might know more about a wheat field than they do the kingdom of God, but they've been in church every week since Moby Dick was a minute. That's kind of crazy, ain't it? Huh? We have to establish what's real, right, and true. The invisible attributes of God are seen clearly in his creation. The invisible attributes of God and the kingdom are seen clearly through the Holy Spirit. Lest a man be born again, he will not see, nor will he enter the kingdom of God. Have you seen? Have you entered? Do you understand that very God who is the king of his kingdom is the very God who established the laws of his nature? Those laws of nature are irrevocable. We have a lot of people trying to change them. But those laws of nature are the laws of nature's God, and they are irrevocable. And there is swift and severe punishment that comes to anyone who wants to alter those things by the means of man. And if we remain ignorant, just what he says, I just don't want you to be unaware. How many of y'all think somewhere along the ways we became unaware? We became unaware. Well, tonight I'm here to tell you, you don't have to be unaware. It's all around you. He's all around you. His creation is all around you. His laws are all around you. Watch. Look. Listen. Learn. Then pray. But pray for where you're headed. Pray for where you're headed. Some of you people who aren't going anywhere, if you'll start praying for where you're headed, you'll go somewhere. You'll become fruitful, okay? That's all I could get you tonight on short notice after auctioneering a cow sale all day. We will be back in chapter 1 again here in a couple weeks just because I just want to talk about it some more. I don't want anybody to be mean-spirited about any of these certain situations and subjects that are right under our nose now every day. We're almost to the place now where every kitchen table is affected some way, somehow, by unnatural behavior. It's everywhere. How do you handle it? I know how I'm going to handle it from now on. I used to do Leviticus 17, 18, 19, all along in there, different places in the Bible. Used Roman 1 all the time about the abomination and the foolish behavior and the wrath of God. The next time it comes up in my life, and you know, I haven't been praying to go to visit with any homosexuals lately. Really, I used to. This place right here, I would say we used to attract more homosexuals than all the rest of the churches in Muleshoe together. Pray for them, talk to them, help them. Some of them leave, some of them change. Some of them died. I mean, that's just kind of how it goes. But I did pray for them. Well, then I got kind of angry and snotty about it. I hadn't been praying. It's probably a good thing because I didn't have a good answer. I do now. Let's go outside. I want you to look around. I want you to see how this plan is played out, because it's been going on for a long time and you're a product of that plan. So let's just take a look. Because even the birds, a dove will never mate with a crow. And a horse will never mate with a cow. And it will always be male and female. You want to live outside of that? Go ahead. You can call it mental illness. You can call it whatever you want. But here's what actually happened. We forfeited the mind. Well, I have feelings and I have tendencies and I have, you know what? Change your mind. You know, it's that simple. Fix your mind. When you fix your mind, you'll fix everything else. Now, I don't have a big, long degree in this stuff. You want to quit drinking? Fix your mind. You want to quit smoking? Drink your mind. Or drink your mind. Fix your mind. Don't drink your mind. Fix your mind. I mean, that's what I've done for the last 30 years. Don't want to be a racist. Because that's how I grew up. It's not my excuse. I fixed my mind. Fix your mind. My mind still has tendencies. So we're still fixing. Fix your mind. But when you preach to people's feelings and you leave their minds on the porch, this is what you get. This is what you get. When you preach to the mind, you might hurt somebody's feelings. That's the greatest love. Love's not protecting your feelings. Love is saving your life. So, that's the truth. Let's pray. Lord, I want to thank you for tonight. Thank you for your word. Thank you, Lord, for the power of the truth. I thank you for this wonderful group of people that gather up every week, that we can encourage each other, that we can encourage each other's faith, that we can grow in knowledge, that, Lord, we can become useful outside this building. Lord, that we pray for where we're headed. And that, God, we thank you for your creation. Lord, I think as a world we have forgotten to be thankful for your creation. For without your plan of creation, none of us would be here. So, Lord, I just want to tell you thank you tonight. We love you, and we praise you, Jesus. Amen.
Well, that concludes this segment in our message. Come join us 7:30 Wednesday nights at 710 East American Boulevard in Muleshoe, Texas. Or on the web, www.muleshoefellowship.org. We're on YouTube as Muleshoe Fellowship. And for Steve and everyone at Muleshoe Fellowship, God bless.